Can you hear me? Now, Rob, do I need to pull this up? Or there we go. Okay. All right. So on Sunday nights, our theme, I suppose, is Finding True North. And I'm sorry if I've got this wrong. I think tonight's theme is supposed to be Throw Away the Map. I believe that's supposed to be it. I don't know if I got those words right exactly. But you'll notice at the beginning I gave you all some, or most of you, scripture verses to read. So, Sam, I think you had number one, right? Do you mind reading those? And when you do, read them with loudness and bravado so that everybody can hear, because I didn't want to pass around the mic. So please read it very loudly. Can y'all hear him okay? Y'all hear him? Okay. Who's got number two?
This is from Psalm 18, verse 2. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust.
Number three? Good. Number four? Good. And where's that from? Very good. Very good. Thank you, Taylor. Number five? Who's got that?
Psalm 62:8. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us.
Okay, good. Number six? That's right. I actually messed that one up a little bit, didn't I? It's not 9 through 11, but it's part of 9 anyway. Okay, number 7. Thank you. All right, number 8, Proverbs 28. Thank you. All right, number 9. Very good, thank you. Number 10?
Isaiah 26:3-4. You will keep him in perfect peace. His mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you.
Good. 11?
Fear not, after anything, how deep thy domain, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned.
Thank you. Number 12? Thank you. Okay, 13? Thank you. And then the last one, number 14? Thank you. All right, so you can tell I cheated, right? I filled a whole big segment of my time by having y'all do all the work, and that was my plan. No, really, I had like probably 50 different verses on this, and I tried to whittle them down to a few, in a, you know, so we could have it in a reasonable length of time. Who thinks they know what tonight's lesson is about? What's the theme, the underlying theme through all those verses? Mom, you said it? Trust. It's exactly right. And throughout the Bible, I mean, it's not at all hard to find. Constantly throughout the Bible, Josh keeps covering up his face. He shaved his goatee accidentally, so he's very embarrassed. He's very embarrassed about it. So if anybody gets... hardly noticeable. Please poke fun at him if you get a chance. Thank you for doing that. It actually lightens the mood up here a whole lot. So it's not hard to find passages about trust in the Bible. They're all throughout the Bible. The Bible constantly is telling us to trust in the Lord, trust in the Lord. And tonight's scripture of importance, I guess, this is what I was told we should speak on tonight, is Proverbs 3:5-8. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Okay, so I tried to think of something really clever to talk about tonight about this, but it's so straightforward. And really, it's a pretty simple concept. So I do have a little bit I'm going to talk about it, but really I think the miracle in this particular verse is the application. Whenever you actually see it happening in your own life, that's the real important part to catch. So we'll kind of talk about that a little bit later on. But first, just to do kind of a quick explanation about this. Okay, first, trust in God. Trust is learned. We need to recognize our own blindness. Why don't we trust? What are the reasons that we don't trust? And whenever we do trust, what do we gain from that? So, trust is learned. You trust people that you know are trustworthy. And so you might give people the benefit of the doubt that you don't know. But here it is up here. One example that I heard somebody give, or I was reading the other night, and they were talking about this. They said, okay, so what if you sold your car for like $10,000 cash? Would you go up to the bank and then see the first person walking in the bank that you don't even know, hand them your big, wad of $100 bills, your $10,000 in cash, and say, hey, go deposit that for me, please, I'm in a big hurry, and just leave? Probably not, right? Maybe you give strangers the benefit of the doubt, but really, trust is learned. Now, you would do that with a person that you knew was trustworthy, somebody that you depended on, that you relied upon. So trust is learned, and even with God, trust is learned. We learn to trust God through application. Now, initially, we have to make that first step. We have to make that first leap when we become a Christian. But after that, we kind of learn to trust in God by putting our faith in Him and time and time again seeing what the result of it is. Okay. Oh, let me try to trick you with one right quick. I saw this and I thought it was funny. Okay, please reply to me at the very end, okay? When we are faithful, God is faithful. When we are faithless, God is? Yeah, faithful. Nobody tripped up on that one at all, right? It's easy enough. God is always faithful, even when we're not, even when we're faithless. So we should trust in God. Okay, so kind of the first step before trust can happen. I got too many papers up here. I'm tripping over them. As we need to recognize our own blindness. Luke 6:39 says, can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into the ditch? Well, in this particular case, we kind of need to know that we can't really even lead ourselves. If we're blind, how can we even lead ourselves? We're our own blind guide in that particular case. So we talked about in Socrates, I was going to say too, Socrates said, true wisdom is knowing that you know nothing. I thought that was pretty, it's not scriptural, but it sounds about right, right? So think about a blind man. He needs to get somewhere. He needs to, it's a long ways. He can't walk, walk all the way there. It's too far to go. So he needs to ride in a car. Now, if he doesn't know you, he doesn't trust you, do you think that he might be willing to get in a car and drive himself there, even though, you're offering to help him, but he doesn't know you or trust you. Do you think that he'd be willing? Do you think he would do that? Probably not, right? Probably not. That wouldn't make a lot of sense. Unless, what if he didn't realize he was blind? I don't know how that could happen. It's not a very good analogy, right? It's not the best. Maybe it's not the best. But if he didn't know he was blind, maybe he would make an attempt to do that, right? And so in our own lives, that can happen. We try to lead ourselves, even though we don't realize that we're truly blind. So we talk about in economics, rational, self-interested participants. That's kind of like the blind man in this case. Every economic model starts off with the assumption that the participants are rational and self-interested, that they're going to make the best decision they can for themselves given the available information at the time. So in the case of the blind person, if they didn't know they were blind, maybe they would think that was the best decision they could make, was to drive themselves there because they don't really know if you're trustworthy or not. And in our own lives, a lot of times if we don't recognize our own deficiencies, our own incapability of leading ourselves, we might think we're acting in our own best interest, and we try to lead ourselves. I like Ecclesiastes. It's my favorite book in the Bible, and I've not really read too many praising commentaries about Ecclesiastes. Not many people like it that much, I don't think. But I like it because it says, Solomon in all his great wisdom, at the end of his life, after he had collected so much knowledge and wealth and, you know, everything that you could want in life, he looked back and he said, you know what, this was all meaningless. This was all pointless. It was all, you know, a chasing after the wind. It was everything under the sun is meaningless. In fact, what he was saying is left to your own devices, you know, following your heart in life is, at the end of it, you can acquire everything. In fact, we can't acquire as much as Solomon did, right? We couldn't possibly acquire that much. But at the end of it, even Solomon, looking back, said, this was all pointless. There was no point in this at all. And I find that very refreshing and relieving. And it's a, it lifts the burden off your back. Because if you think about it, if you trust in God and you give Him everything that you have, what are you really losing? What is it you're really losing? If everything in life was meaningless anyway, what's the cost? It's really not that high to let God take over. Proverbs 3:8 says, it will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. And I believe that's true. When you let God take over and you realize that He is in control and you're not, it's a refreshment to your bones. Okay, so why don't we trust God? What are some of the reasons? Well, fear keeps us from trusting. And two reasons why it's scary. Well, the person doesn't care about your well-being or wants to harm you. You may think that the person doesn't care about your well-being or wants to harm you, right? You may think that they're out to get you, right? So you don't trust them. Or number two, the person is inept, inadequate, or just incapable of guiding you successfully. Let's see where I was going to go with that. So, fear keeps you from trusting. And it's understandable, right? Because, you know, how many times have you ever had somebody say, close your eyes, you know, and they're supposed to lead you wherever you're going. You don't walk too fast when they do that, right? It's scary. Or Gracie, in your case, you know, one time outside of Chili's, Gracie acted like she was blind. She put on sunglasses and, you know, and I was leading her around and I ran her into a pole. And a lot of people were mortified inside of Chili's because they thought that we let them know we were playing a joke on them. But you can see what I mean. It's a scary thing. Or like the other day, we were at the Bennett's house swimming. And Carson loved that. He always looks for Allie's house whenever we're driving by to church now. But he was outside the pool, and I wanted him to jump to me. I was like, come on, Carson, jump to me. Jump to me, please. And he wouldn't do it. He was too afraid, you know. And it was frustrating. It was really frustrating. Because it's like your whole life, all I've done is taken care of you. You should know that I'm not going to tell you to do something that's going to hurt yourself, you know. But he was too scared to do it, and finally I just gave up on it. But it was frustrating. Well, how frustrating must it be for God in this particular case? Our whole lives He's been looking out for us. If we've recognized it, God has been leading us and taking care of us in our entire lives. So when He asks us to step out, you know, and we don't do it, how frustrating must that be? So some of the things here, you know, we might ask the question, does God really have our best interests in mind? Does He really have our best interests in mind? We would all say, yeah, sure, yeah, we believe that, absolutely. But if you know, I kind of tried to break it down into a couple of different categories here. You know, does God have your best interest in mind as far as safety goes? Sure, yeah. Yeah, we'd all say that. You know, but what about, you know, as far as for a full life, you know, a fun life, an adventurous life, an exciting thing, you know? I think that's how you spell it. I don't know. Maybe. You know, I think it's popular in the culture anyway to think of God as like, you know, some staunch, powerful old man up in the clouds that, you know, points at everybody and says, thou shalt not. You know, that's the image of God that they have, that He's controlling and stifling, and He doesn't want you to have fun. I think Billy Joel, is that correct? He says that he'd rather laugh with the sinners than cry with the saints. Because that's what a lot of people think of, you know, Christians. It's, well, you live this pious and quiet, no fun life at all until the very end. And that's what a lot of people think of, that God has, that's His plan for you. You know, that He doesn't really expect you to have a full life. All right, so what happens when we trust? All right, relying on God gives peace for a couple of reasons. God cares about you, and He loves you, and He will not harm you. James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift comes from the Lord. So He's certainly not out to get you. In fact, the opposite is true. He loves you, and He cares about you. So, and then number two, God is adequate. He's strong, and He's capable. Isaiah 55:9 says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. God is much more capable than we are. He knows the end. He knows the beginning. He knows everything in between. He knows what our paths are. He made us. He created us. He knows what the best path for us is, even though we don't. But we ought to, you know, most of the time we want to try to control it. We want to try to, grasp that and decide what path that we want to go on, because we think, well, we probably know best. We're self-interested. All right. So, let's see how much more I had on that. Okay. And do you believe that God really wants you to fly or to live life to the fullest, and that trusting in God is exciting? And you don't necessarily know what's coming, but you know it's going to be good. And John 10:10 says, I've come that they may have life and have it to the fullest. So, for Christians, when God opens up doors and gives you opportunities, take them. Take them. You know, be willing to take the risk. God is going to take care of you. If you step out, He's got your back. You know, He's all-powerful and completely capable. For non-Christians or not yet Christians, the first step is you have to give God a chance and put your trust in Him, because He's faithful. And you'll learn that over time. You'll learn to trust God. Over time, He'll always be there. Even when you don't see it, sometimes, you know, in life you get to look back and see how God worked through it. I wanted to have something kind of profound with these scriptures. But like I said, I mean, it's pretty straightforward. There's not really a whole lot I can talk about that you wouldn't already know. So I thought maybe what I could do was, share a time in my own life whenever God has definitely led me, you know, and he's shown me something, and I want to acknowledge Him for that, right? And I think that's something that y'all don't necessarily know about. I mean, y'all know about trusting God, and you know about these verses, and you've seen all of them, but you might not know about my own personal experiences. And so I thought I'd take a little bit of time to tell some of those. And I would encourage some of you other guys that are going to speak on Sunday night to maybe, you know, give some of your own stories too, because I would like to hear them, or maybe I can just come ask you about them if you don't want to talk about them up here. But I would like to hear them. I want to hear, you know, about your own journey with the Lord. So I'll tell you, as a kid, I was kind of a nervous kid because I like to control, you know, I like to control things and be in control of my own destiny. And I always thought that if something was coming up that I wasn't necessarily in control of, if it went badly, that could be catastrophic. And that always made me nervous. And so before anything where I was, I would get nervous about any sort of event, like, playing softball as a kid. You know, I used to pitch and play softball. And before the games, I kind of felt like all the pressure was on me to do a good job. And so I'd get sick, because that's what we did. That's what we all did. Gracie, you know, you still do it. But we would all you get sick before something exciting. And I remember, like, being out on the pitcher's mound and trying to cover it up and not let anybody know what had happened. But I was nervous, you know, and even through my, you know, as a teenager, I was nervous about things. I would try to control things and try to make things work the way I wanted them to. And, man, that's a lot of pressure. And it would tie my stomach up in knots, and it would make me sick. And so, as a little bit older teenager, I saw things weren't really going exactly the way that I wanted to. Tried as hard as I could to control everything, but they weren't really falling into place. And I finally came to the point, you know, God had been leading me, you know, for a while, and thankfully had let me get very frustrated, you know. And so eventually, I came to the point that I was like, okay, fine. God, I'll trust you. You take it over. You take care of it. Let's see if you can do a better job. And I was working at Beatty's at the time. I was 18. I was working at Beatty's. And I started to walk out the warehouse door. And it was like, God was like, turn around. So I did. I turned around. I went back up front. And I told Teb, and I guess I had kind of a serious look on my face. I was like, we need to talk. You know, and Teb was like, well, what about? What about? Tell me about it. You know, hey, this is the next thing. So And I was like, I want to be a Christian. I want to trust in God. I want Him to take over. And, I'm ready to do this. And he was like, well, let's go, go get baptized tonight. And I was like, oh, tonight. I was kind of thinking I'd wait till Sunday or some, convenient time. And he was like, no, tonight. So I remember he even called Pop and Grandma, and everybody met me out here at the church. And that was on a Monday night, right after work. And after that, God taught me to trust Him. He made my path straight. Really opened up a lot of doors very quickly at the beginning, and I could kind of see where He wanted me to go. And it became, kind of easy to trust on God. He really, I quit being nervous after that, for the most part. A little bit nervous about tonight, doing that. Not as nervous as Dan, though. Dan's doing it in August. He already called me about it and said that he was nervous. So that's a long ways off. I'm not as nervous as him. But anyway, so he really relieved that burden from me. Really let me know that He was guiding me and leading me, and opened up a lot of opportunities for me. And through the next few years, I definitely saw God working in my life. But then, a few years later, it got a little bit harder to see the path. I went to work up in Knoxville, and it was for a job I never even applied for, right? They called me up and said, hey, you got a job if you want it. And so I kind of thought, well, okay, God, I hear you. I'll go up there and do it. And I did, and after I'd been there a couple of years, I just didn't see the point. I didn't know why I was there. I didn't know what God was doing, and I hadn't really heard from Him in a while, I guess. And I mean, I had a good job, and I had a decent church to go to, but I didn't have a family or a wife, and I didn't really have any direction or purpose. And I had heard a lesson here at Bel Air when I was in college, and he was talking about your mission, knowing your mission, and your the path that God has set before you. And I didn't know it. I mean, I thought I was doing what God wanted me to do, but I didn't see His direction. So anyway, I had a couple of good friends up there. One of them, she was that I went to church with. One of them was reading a book called "Wild at Heart." It's a John Etheridge, I think, something like that. I don't know. I got the book. You can have it if you'd like it. I don't remember exactly what it's called. But she said she was reading it, and the whole time she was reading it, she said she felt like she was being led, like she needed to give me the book. Okay. Thanks. All right, I'll take it. And I could tell she was very serious about it. I mean, she really thought that I was supposed to read the book, so I did. So I picked it up and I started reading it, and I didn't get halfway through it, really, honestly, but I could see what she was talking about. Now reading the book now, if I'm going back and looking at it, it doesn't really have the weight or the importance, but whatever it was, at the time, it was the right thing to hear at that time. It was definitely, I could feel the weight of the words on the page, and it was really influencing me. And I started to realize how upset I had gotten with God over it. Like, what are you doing? Why am I here? What's my purpose? What is it you want me to do? I don't understand. And so I was having this. I was in the middle of reading it, and I started I started praying, and it was kind of a loud prayer and. Maybe not particularly nice, Looking back, it might not have been that great. But it was like, what are you doing here with me? What am I doing? I don't understand. I've tried to trust you and do what you wanted me to do. I've come up here because I thought that's what you wanted, but I don't really see any direction. And like I say, it was loud and tearful and probably not particularly nice. But in the middle of it, God told me something. And it wasn't like, audible words like boom and you hear the house shake kind of thing. Nothing like that. Nothing like that at all. But it was very apparent. I mean, Andrea and I talked about it, and I didn't know really what else to call it, but an epiphany, which is like a sudden realization of something. And because I, very suddenly realized what it was that he was telling me. And it was absolutely clear. It couldn't have been more clear if he had written it on a piece of paper and handed it to me or... in God's typical fashion, to chisel it out on a stone tablet and hand it to me. I knew exactly what it was he was saying. He said, boys. He said, you're going to have boys. And I'll try not to get upset when I'm telling it, but it's a pretty big deal. And it was back, this is September 2006. I didn't even know Andrea at the time. I'd never met her, or maybe we had seen each other once, but I didn't know who she was. I'd never talked to her. And apparently she had something kind of similar happen to her at the same time. And I was very excited about this, obviously, you know, and in the middle of praying, it turned from kind of a, what are you doing with me, to, you know, to thank you, God, thank you, because it was absolutely clear what it was that he was telling me, what was coming down the road. And so obviously I'm excited about that, and I told, you know, a friend of mine, and they thought it was completely unbelievable, as, you know, you might too, because it's pretty, I mean, it's kind of, you know, really, did you hear something? Well, you know, but they could tell from how serious, I mean, how absolutely serious and sure about this that I was, they believed it too. And they gave me, the reason that I feel like I should tell this story is because they gave me a scripture verse in a frame that's still hanging up in my house, and it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, do not lean on your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him, and he'll make your path straight. And it's still, you know, hanging up on our wall. It's in the bathroom and on the wall, but it's on our house in the wall. They gave it to me at the time, and I thought, you know, whenever y'all came and you said, this is the verse you should be speaking of, I thought, well, okay, I got to tell this story. So, anyway, 2 months later, almost exactly 2 months later, right, I met Andrea, and I told her about it, and she was pretty excited, and she decided she would come along on the same path, on the same journey, and so, 10 months later, we were married. And there's so many details and so many things that fell into place, but, you know, over that length of time, and of course we don't have time to talk about it, but there's so many incredible things that lined up. It was absolutely obvious that God was taking care of everything. You know, from a 5-minute conversation that got me accepted into school to falling backward into a job that I didn't apply for again, you know, things like that. He really took care of us, financially and otherwise. And then, I mean, I guess y'all probably know the rest of it. In 2010, first boy, Carson, was born. And then 2012, Joseph was born. And now, in 2014, boy number 3 is on the way. We'll come up with a better name than boy number 3. But anyway, it's exciting. And it's really nice to see God make my path straight. You know, and I want to acknowledge him. I want to acknowledge him for this. So anyway, this is something incredible that God's done for me over the past few years, past, you know, 8 years, and I guess really it goes on longer than that, but especially the last 8 years. And it's really been incredible. I mean, it's definitely a faith booster to have something like that happen and to have it fulfilled. And hopefully you're, you know, edified by that. Hopefully that story helps, you know, to increase your faith and trust in God. So let's pray. Thank you, God, for your faithfulness. And thank you for your love and your forgiveness, even when we're not faithful. Lord, thank you for making our path straight, for leading us, for taking care of us. Lord, you always have our best interests in mind, and you always take care of us, Lord. And we'll trust you. We'll trust you, and we'll follow you because we love you, Lord, and we know that you're going to take care of us. Lord, help us to be bold and to be confident, and to step out whenever you call us to, because we know that you have our back, that you'll always be there for us, that you're our safety net. Lord, thank you for all the blessings that you give us. Help us to recognize every time that you're involved, that you're the one that's moving us along, that's holding us up, that's shedding light on our path. Thank you for loving us so much, Lord, and thank you most of all for sending your Son. What an incredible sacrifice to give to us, Lord. In his name we pray. Amen. So, once again, I want to say, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he'll make your path straight. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, and turn away from evil, and it will be a healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. So, you know, if you are a Christian, listen to God. If he asks you to step out, do it. He'll be there. You know, he'll be there to take care of you. And if you're not a Christian, I mean, this is, God knows better for you what you need than you do. You don't have a clue what it is. You're actually, you know, you're blind to what it is you need, but God will take care of you. He loves you, and he'll take care of you. So, Rob, that's really all I had. If we, I don't know, what do we do? Have an invitation song? Or?
Yeah.
Okay.